I do have some pretty strong opinions on physical education, and sometimes I probably let my passion get the best of me, but I feel any opportunity to educate another human being should be a sacred moment. Early in my career, in a sports medicine degree, I was exposed to quite a few physical education classes because in most instances, both athletic training, pre-physical therapy, or sports medicine is taught within the physical education department. And when I saw the opportunity that physical educators have to develop people, I realized what a sorry state of physical education we have actually evolved to. I even threw out a hypothetical a few weeks ago in a lecture by saying, you know, if a Senate subcommittee for some reason got hold of my name as both a health and conditioning professional to basically argue for monies that could be allocated to physical education going forward, I would probably argue against it simply because physical education has not done what we needed it to do. Therefore, it is better to let the old methods completely die and then remake that in a different way. We've already seen the influence that a physically active child can have on their grade point average compared to a child that is not physically active. We know the positive benefits of exercise, both in academia and in health and self-esteem. But what I want to talk about is, what is the end goal of physical education of our youth? Now, the end goal of English class, or the end goal of math class, or the end goal of psychology class usually creates an entry level of competence. The fact that somebody could function independently with their math skills or independently with their grammar skills without a lot of outside intervention is really the end result. We're going to get you to your senior year in high school where you can function in a community and most people will not think something's wrong with you. Okay, let's go back and look at physical education. Not the physical education that maybe some of our listeners are listening to, or not the physical education that your child may or may not be receiving right now. Let's go back to the physical education that was dropped on our parents and people who are currently baby boomers now. Are these people physically independent when they make their health and fitness decisions? Or do they basically just stick on the internet or migrate to the first professional that seems to have the credentials that could support this type of knowledge? Me? I think I have enough math skills to know if I go to somebody for mathematical problems that they're at least doing the basics right, if they're addition and subtraction. I'm not going to get taken advantage of buying a new car, if you know what I mean. I got enough math not to get taken advantage of there. I have thought for a few times, though, that my mom or dad might get taken advantage of in a physical therapy clinic, a chiropractic clinic, or in a gym where they might be going into group exercise or hiring a personal trainer. I don't think these people are trying to do a wrong deed or take advantage of my parent. I simply don't think that they're the expert my parents might think they are. Every one of us has an ulterior motive for doing what we do. And anytime we can sell somebody something that they're confused about, we win. The insurance industry is built on fear. We're going to charge you now for something you're afraid of in the future. I don't want fitness or healthcare to be that way. I just don't. I literally think that a physical education class, if it were to be restructured and built from the ground up, would physically empower kids to overcome obstacles. Physical obstacles. Today we're going to climb, tomorrow we're going to skip, the next day we're going to run, and then we're going to throw things. We're going to lift some things, but the first thing we should probably learn to lift is you. We're going to do physical obstacles and create challenges. Those challenges will create failures, but they're not the kind of failures we're going to obsess on. They're the kind of failures that tell us the exact type of development that you need. So, we know that sometimes the fastest people might have the biggest flexibility problems. We also know that some people with no flexibility problems may not really have the acquisition of strength. If we were to scale the physical challenges away from games and more to physical obstacles, they could be done in a game setting. But if we've already got organized sports, then we probably should not make physical education about that, because the people who are already good at that are already getting success there. The last thing we want to do is make physical education about sports, because then people who don't have a sports or athletic affinity will not have a physical presence in their life. Dr. Ed Thomas talks about this a lot, and he talks about a physical culture, a culture that embraces its physical attributes as much as its academic, intellectual, or architectural attributes. And I feel the same way. But how would we engineer a class to make your child feel independent by the time they graduate from high school about making some pretty basic health and fitness decisions? I don't think the professions of physical rehabilitation and personal fitness are going to go away. But I think we need to think of ourselves more as educators. I've literally worked as a physical therapist where people have come to me and they've already exhausted all of their insurance money and they're having to come to me out of pocket. So the very first thing they expect me to do is in one or two visits do significantly more than the other person did after 12 visits and exhausted all of their insurance resources. My point is, I've taken that challenge, and in very many times, we've closed their case in three visits spread over 3 weeks, just having them take the right advice and do the right thing. My point is, we're wasting a lot of time, and are we creating independence? I don't know if we're creating independence in our clients or our patients. Do we want them to be well and go tell others, or do we want them to keep returning as continual consumers? I don't necessarily know. I get tired of meeting the same people all the time, knowing I'm making very little difference in their life. I would rather create independence, but that independence could easily start in our educational system. Why are we not independent with our healthcare decisions and our fitness decisions, yet we're expected to be independent with other decisions we make about finance or communication or business ethics or something like that? I think we should be independent. We should basically have a physical dilemma. And we should overcome that physical dilemma. That's how we create it. There's a beautiful book called Adapt. And in that book, we talk about what nature, what the environment does to us to make us develop. Nature gives us lots of opportunities to fail. And not failing is how nature pats us on the back with success. However, failure in nature, failure in natural environments, and failure in harsh environments can sometimes take your life or injure you severely. So if we're going to pick up where nature leaves off, if we're going to try to physically develop you better than the environment could, the first and most important premise that I think you need to embrace is you can't do it better than nature. And if you think you can, I think you're listening to the wrong guy. I'm not necessarily sure we can do it better than nature, because every time we've ever tried to develop one attribute better than nature, we've done it at the expense of another attribute or some other quality. So there's something about the way the natural environment develops us that will not let you go below a minimum accepted level of competency on another metric while pursuing the one of your focus. It's a very important thing to realize. However, if we are going to try to develop a system based on nature, because you got to realize nature is what produced the way this organism behaves in its environment, then we got to follow a few things. And I think some very simple principles come out of that book, Adapt. Number one, just like nature, you have to be exposed to a lot of variation, a lot of variety. Expect that when you have a lot of variety, you're going to have a lot of failure. Not every one of your interactions with something new is going to be successful or even rewarding. We call that failure. But number two, just make the failure survivable. Now, we run into this all the time with the movement screen, because when I tell somebody that their squatting pattern is really, really bad and I don't think they should load the squat, they're like, well, tomorrow's squat day. If your squat doesn't have enough integrity to benefit from the load, why do you persist in the load? I didn't say don't work on your squat. I said don't load your squat. A lot of runners hear me say the same thing. Their volume of running is so much that it will not let a change in their fundamental movement occur, because they need that dysfunction to do the mileage they're doing with all the other issues they have. They need that compensation because there's no other way they're going to do the mileage. If the compensation stays alive, then the reason for the thing or the reason you're compensating also stays in play. So we got to remove that as well. So when we restrict a physical activity from sort of the movement screening standpoint, all we really injure is your pride. We interrupt your program, we interrupt your groove, we interrupt your vibe, we interrupt that thing that you want to replace it with that thing that you need. Remember, the Rolling Stones told us that. You can't always get what you want, but you get what you need. And that's what we really need to do if we're in control of somebody's fitness or rehabilitation. Let's deal with their needs first, make them see how maybe addressing a need could get them a little bit closer to the want. So, you need a variety. You're going to have failure when you expose variety. Make the failure survivable. And any time I would take an injury to my pride over an injury to my body. Now, there was a time when I wouldn't do that. I'm 48 now. I will always take an injury to my pride for my body. I'm not too sure an injury to my body will make me better, but most injuries to my pride enlighten me in some way. And lastly, if we're going to have variety, if we're going to have failure, and if that failure is going to be survivable, then let's create it and make it meaningful as well. Meaning, if the failure doesn't have a feedback loop built into it, then it's not nearly as instructional as it could be. So if human beings, if coaches and trainers and teachers and educators and rehabilitators are going to step into this arena of human development, we know we can't do it better than the environment that's been around as long as we've been around. But I think we can do it faster and safer. And I'd like to leave you with that message. I'm not trying to do anything in functional movement systems to circumvent nature. Nature is where we came from, and the natural environment is one of those things that's helped hone and develop us. And so the way we grow and develop is based on a lot of those principles. These three principles are in the book ADAPT, and I think you should look into that. But remember, that's not the way I think physical education should be anymore. The way we've done it in the past is not the way we should do it in the future. Physical problem solving and healthy individuals with physical independence is what physical education should generate. We're part of that, whether we like it or not.